The Radio Bible Course is studying Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11 is about faith, and the author gives us a list of the heroes of the faith from the Old Testament. Among them was Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Do you believe the story about Noah and the flood? Many people do not, and many scientists reject the idea that there was a great flood all over the earth. But those same people also doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. Does it really matter what people believe? Most people don't have faith, so we can't expect them to believe the things that are in the Bible. The question is, did Jesus believe the story of Noah and the flood? Oh, he did indeed. He talked about it in Matthew chapter 24. He said this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Not many people believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, obviously. If they did, they wouldn't be acting like they are. People would be seeking God and wanting to know Him. People would be concerned about the Word of God and righteousness. But since many people don't believe in the return of Jesus Christ, who proved that He was the Son of God, who walked on the earth, and we have a good record of His life, His death, burial, and resurrection, and they still don't believe that, why should we expect them to believe something as fantastic as a great flood and a man who built a large ship? Jesus believed the flood took place, and He warned His generation that His coming would be sudden, surprising people who lived only for this life. Have you noticed the last part of Hebrews 11, verse 7, where it says Noah's faith was a judgment on the world? He, of course, was not self-righteous, nor did he censure the evil men around him. His faith and his behavior passed judgment on others. And when the ungodly observe your faith and life, they too should become aware of their own corruption. The good life judges the evil life without a word of rebuke. There is something we may miss about the Old Testament men and women of faith. Their faith was primarily looking ahead. Faith was aimed at what God said He would do and the promises He would fulfill. It's remarkable that Abel, Enoch, and Noah had faith even though they could not see what was coming. But in the New Testament, faith is usually focused on the past. We are told to look at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ some 1960 years ago and see how He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. We are told to look back at the cross and hear God's promises concerning redemption through the crucified Christ. That is what we depend upon for our salvation. Now, if we don't accept the past, which is historic fact, how can we believe the future? So, we preach Christ crucified, and we preach the finished work of Christ. We tell men what has been done. The gospel doesn't concern what men ought to do for God. It announces what God has already done for man by providing an eternal sacrifice, one that fulfilled the law completely, and a sacrifice upon which we are to trust. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 3. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life." Lifted up means being put up on the cross. And He was put up on the cross for the sins of men. He bore all the judgment that should have fallen on us. And now that he has died and paid the penalty for sin, God is satisfied. And God is willing to forgive everyone who does nothing more than believe in that Christ. Our message is Christ, not heaven, not the rapture. Our faith is in the Savior and what he did for us. Our hope is in his coming for us, as he promised. But of course, our faith also looks ahead. The future is bright, only if we accept the past and appreciate the fact that God sent his Son. If God made promises and those promises were fulfilled in the past, then we can be sure that his promises concerning the future will also come to pass. Can a person be a Christian without believing the story of the flood? I doubt it, because the story of the flood is recorded in Holy Scripture, and Jesus believed the story of the flood, but so did the Apostle Peter. He wrote about it in 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, "For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water." It is clear that Peter accepted the flood story, and of course he would. He was a Jew, and the Jews had the Holy Scriptures, and Moses was the author of the book of Genesis where the flood story is recorded. Did Jesus also believe that Moses wrote the book of Genesis? He did indeed, and you'll find references to it in the Gospels where he talks about what Moses said and what Moses wrote. If a person doesn't believe the flood story, which is mentioned in both the Old and the New Testaments, why would he believe other things that are written in the New Testament about Jesus Christ? Well, that raises the question then, does a person need to believe miracles in order to be a Christian? I think so. The greatest miracle recorded in the Bible is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Son of God was crucified. He was buried. They were sure that he was dead. That's why they didn't break his legs on the cross. And on the third day, he arose from the dead. Somebody rolled the stone away from in front of that tomb. And Jesus Christ appeared to many, more than 500 brethren at once. And he appeared to Peter. And he appeared to the other apostles. There's plenty of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus, and thousands of early disciples were willing to suffer death because they were sure that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and that he lived. And the testimony of the Christian church today is the resurrection of Jesus Christ has given us a living Savior. No other religion in the world has anything like it. All the founders of the religions of the world are dead. They have left some writings and some teachings. And there are many, many disciples of those men, but those religious leaders are dead. Jesus is alive. Now, the writer to the Hebrews has been giving us a list of Old Testament men and women who we can call God's Hall of Fame. None but faith people are eligible for that Hall of Fame. He began with Abel, then mentioned Enoch and Noah, and next he comes to Abraham. I was struck with a frightening thought as I studied this chapter. Very few are listed, and there is no statement that permits me to conclude that there were tens of thousands of others who had faith. On the contrary, the Bible leaves the distinct impression that God's true people are small in number. The third chapter of Hebrews informed us that as far as the children of Israel are concerned, they all died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Yet these were the people who saw the miracles, who were fed by the manna and the quail in the wilderness, whose sandals didn't wear out. They were the ones who drank water from the rock and were delivered from Egypt through the Red Sea. But they all died in the wilderness because of unbelief. The prophets of old spoke against Israel's unbelief throughout their history. And Jesus in Matthew 13 quoted Isaiah in explaining why he spoke in parables. In chapter 15, he again said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This causes me to wonder how many people in our churches have faith. I am frightened by the thought of it. And since I meet so many people who are not at all concerned about what the Bible says, they neither study, read, or memorize the Bible. Oh, they go to church and they hear a few passages read each Sunday, but that's about their only contact with the Word of God. It causes me to believe that not many people have faith. Now, regarding faith, it is Abraham who gets the most space in the book of Genesis, and rightly so, for the Old Testament from Genesis 12 to chapter 25 relates the faith and obedience of Abraham. He is considered by the Jews as the greatest man in their history. Abraham is the father of the chosen people, Israel, and the inspired New Testament writers cite this man as the example for the Christian in matters of faith. Where do they do that? Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. "Thus Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So you see that it is men of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are men of faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. We today are saved like Abraham was saved. He believed God, and God waits for us to believe him also. Salvation in both the Old and the New Testaments was by the same method. It was through faith." As we close today, I'd like to tell you about an exciting cassette tape course that's unmatched in providing biblical understanding. The course is a biblical treat. You'll hear the Christian faith presented as never before, and it will change your orientation both to God and to the Bible. We call it Understanding the New Testament. It will challenge you to reconsider commonly held concepts about Christianity. There's no book or course that contains this exciting material. Write for a descriptive brochure that tells you about understanding the New Testament. Ask for tape information. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.